Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here at 97.9 FM, WGBW 98.3 FM, WISS in Oshkosh. And, of course, the Civic Media app, being joined by Dan Van Lannen, Hobart Lawrence Police, Fire Rescue, Public Safety, and talk about their big golf outing coming up on August 12th.
24 municipalities in the county. Those are probably the two best.
Really? Wow. Jimmy?
No, I'm just kidding. You're here. You're my friend. But you got good going on there. And you talked earlier and even during the break about how the community really leans into both municipalities.
Oh, yeah. When these people started this golf outing 2 years ago, I didn't know what to expect. It is unbelievable how much money they raised, how many people come to it, how many people support it. Like, this is... Golf is a lot of work, but this has been kind of easy.
And people say, you know, where's the money going? And you had mentioned that, Chief, earlier, but it's going to things that, you know, there's things that you have to have and things that you'd like to have, and they help you get the things you'd like to have.
And you know that from being a mayor. You can't budget for everything.
No.
So this is answers that.
And the community loves it. They love you. So, yeah, this is great. So this is going to be happening on Monday.
August 12th.
August 12th, yes.
At Thornberry.
Great. And we talked about you can sponsor a hole.
Sponsor hole, you can sponsor a golf cart.
And a foursome's only $500 and includes a steak dinner?
Yeah, and we got some awesome prizes. And we have some par three events where if you hit a hole in one of them is if you pay $20 and you hit the hole in one, $10,000 cash to you.
Nice.
Then we got a jet ski.
Okay, be careful on
that. Yeah, I know
where
you're going with this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, me too. Is this the FOP one?
What does that mean?
Where the guy hit it and he won it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't measured correctly.
Oh, no. Okay. But that happens too. You got to be very specific.
Oh, yeah.
I was a witness at one.
Oh, that's
NFL
right.
NFL Players Association thing. And I wasn't paying close attention.
Mm.
But I did, you know what I mean? Because you're standing out there for 5 hours and this, God bless her, you know, just this lady hits and I watch it come on. Just, she sculled it. But it was so dry. It rolled all the way. And I look, I go, that went in, right? That went in. And do you remember Napoleon McCallum? Running back for the Oakland Raiders back today, like 250. He comes walking up to me, goes, "That went in, right?" Yeah, that went in. And I got grilled.
Did you like to go in front of like get sworn in?
I had to do two different things with the insurance company.
That's still, that's real money.
You had to like testify.
Yes.
Because there was a PT Cruiser they gave away, and that insurance company does not screw around. So all I'm saying is make sure you got a very good witness.
Yeah, and you have to have the insurance companies come out.
Yep.
And you have to have everything
the
done
right
by the
distance.
Book. Because we ended up buying the Harley because the guy hit it and made it. But there was some discrepancy. It was measured correctly initially, but then someone moved the tee boxes or something happened where a few feet, they wouldn't give them the Harley.
You're
insurance
exactly
would not
correct.
Cover it. So we bought it. That's what
Wow. Well, that keeps them coming back.
Hey, what are you going to do?
But you have that again, huh? You got the $10,000.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, we got $10,000, and then we got a jet ski on another hole.
Nice.
And then the other one is going to be like an ATV or UTV.
Nice.
How
good stuff.
Far is the jet ski hole?
I don't know.
Okay.
You need a lake first, Jim. Or take
you
gotta
get over that?
Oh,
I thought you were talking about the jet ski.
Can you bring that to
the we're doing the jet ski if you don't have
it. Not on Sundays.
Okay.
Not on Sundays, but we're all stuff buddies.
Oh, so. Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Man, I went to the Ostoff. It's a Saturday night, and there's music going on, and I'm checking everything out, and I look, and there's Jimmy. And Jimmy's got this ice cream cone. Not a lot of cone, but a lot of ice cream. Right, Jimmy? That thing was monstrous. I said, Jimmy, where's the guy get that?
Do you have a picture?
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. And I
for a picture
a lot of Saturday nights there.
And I went up to him, and I said, Jimmy, I love the Zip and Pippin. What you did to Baby that almost cost me my job, Chopper.
That's what I said to him, too.
That's
I did say that.
Phenomenal. Fantastic. Well, you can tell you one thing, though. You guys, you cover such a wide area, and you guys do such a great job. I'm not blowing smoke. You really do. I've met with some of your people in unfortunate circumstances.
And you know Chief Rankus?
I know Chief Rankus, who is phenomenal. I used to do stories on your buddy that did the Iron Man.
Izzy.
Remember Izzy?
Yep, yep, yep.
Did the Iron Man for in regards to a great cause. And so you guys get involved out there. You really
Big
do.
Big time. And now yes. at Chief Rankus, it's even more so. We're doing all kinds of stuff.
That's great. He's a Marine veteran.
How do you know him?
We work together at Veterans Village. Okay. He and I, and this is another reason why I want to be in charge of the museum at the cottage court. Mm-hmm. Me and Mike built the museum at the Veterans Village in Appleton.
Really?
Me and Mike Rankus.
Seriously.
Yes, yeah. We'd go down to the Oshkosh Museum. They'd loan us stuff and everything. Yeah. We'd do all these displays. Mike basically built that thing. He was so instrumental.
That doesn't surprise me.
No. Yeah. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of good people that are kind of out there. I just you want to talk about what they're going to do with Yuza's old home?
I got to read a text quick.
Did you see that?
I got a quick text here. Okay, Chopper and Chief Mike do awesome things for the Hobart Lawrence community when Chopper's not on vacation.
So half the year. No, just kidding. It's in the news yesterday, you know, that big home you have there is being purchased by, or it may be purchased by that company out of Tennessee for a rehab place. Are you familiar with that? I guess
I'm not.
Okay. Anyway, that's you'll read about that when you get home today, because it's interesting news. But I think what people see in Hobart is a community worth investing in, and that's what they're looking at doing.
Yeah, and it's definitely.
$3 million.
When I was in real estate and you had a place in Hobart, it went so fast. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not giving it away in Hobart either.
No.
Behave, Jimmy.
I know that.
Yeah, so. Behave, Jimmy. That's giving a new line every day. Behave, Jimmy. I love it.
It's never worked. It's not going to.
I love it.
So.
Yeah, and it's not an easy job, though, being a police officer, is it? I mean, let's be honest.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, this community, everyone supports the police.
Right.
I mean, they love us here.
Right.
It's not like some of these cities out west.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, just like any job, it has its challenges.
But look at Dan. I mean, you got a pretty good demeanor about you. You know, you're these kids that come out, or even, you know, I mean, I'm talking not kids, I'm talking teenagers and stuff. I mean, you're a pretty easy, approachable guy, kind of a funny guy. And I think that's important. I think we lost a little bit of that. Maybe not here, but in these other municipalities where they were the.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in some municipalities, in some areas of the country, people don't look at police quite like they do here.
Right.
So we're trying to kind of humanize all that and make everyone know we're good people.
And again,
you live here.
Talk about what today is.
Today's National Police Day.
Right. And
Police Week.
And the Police Week, flags at half-mast to honor those that have fallen in the line of duty.
Yep.
And we've had a few in the state of Wisconsin over the last couple
Hobart
of years.
Lawrence. We had Edder and Markins
in
2022. I was working there. I was there about a month, and those two got killed.
Yeah.
Never forget. That was
2002, July 22nd, 2022.
It's been that long now, huh?
Yep. Right at 4:22 p.m. I remember it like.
I knew her. I knew her well.
Everyone did.
Yeah,
and everyone knew Edder.
Yes.
Because he worked for 30 years at DePere. Yeah.
That was such tragedy.
He retired from DePere
and
then came on to kind of help get the department going. And then she was working for Brilliant and then came on because obviously we were growing.
Right.
It was
you're kind of new.
Opportunity.
Right.
And then that happened. And back then, I don't think it was as common, you know, cops getting killed. Like when Hobart, it rocked.
That was shocking.
All of Brown County, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well, and the way it was done, too, piling into them.
96 miles an hour.
Right. Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, they were right in front of Balin Builders on Mason Street.
You have a nice monument there.
Yeah, very nice.
I mean, you're honoring that.
Yeah, Balin did a really good job and helped us with that. And
well, the community stepped up, too, on that. I just think
that's
who you are.
Yeah, the community stepped up, yeah. And then we had some memorials and,
How can we celebrate and honor the police this week with it being their week? Just a normal citizen, what can we do?
Just see a police officer, thank them, tell them you appreciate them. That's it.
Drop off cookies.
Yeah, you know, if you see me, I'm bad.
Well, I will say one thing, though. Now, we had one of my good friends comes in here, and he was a cop like 25 years ago, and he said he'd apply for a job. There'd be 100 other resumes, you know, for a small town. I mean, it's crazy.
That's how it was.
It's
how not
is that
how it
now?
Is now.
Okay.
I think it's getting better, but.
Good.
But I remember years ago going to take written tests for different departments. You'd be in like an auditorium.
Yeah.
And there'd be 200 people there for two spots.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, maybe you get 15. It's
but
it has gotten better, though.
But I see what some like Los Angeles is down like 20% of what they're supposed to have. And guys can start now at like 95 to 100,000. And that's what they've just finally had to do. It's like, okay, let's just pay them whatever. we can pay them to get people to become a cop in Los Angeles. Not that I would ever be a cop in Los Angeles, but, you know.
When Minneapolis went through the defund the police thing, they lost like 400 guys.
Wow.
And, you know, when you lose those guys, you're losing experience. Right. You're losing the trainers.
Mentors.
Yeah, the mentors. I mean, I don't know how you replace that.
Well, they learned that the hard way. They throttled back on a whole bunch of that stuff.
They?
Yeah. So it... we went through a really weird phase.
Really
with Floyd, with just a lot
Jacob
of
Blake.
Straight, yeah. Just a lot of things. And I you know, Americans do that. Boy, we get caught up on something. We ride that train and then you step back and think, what the hell were we thinking? You know what I mean? But this is, I think I would agree.
It's common
with,
now. Yeah. It's slowing.
But I would agree with you that I think things, it's becoming a more respected and not.
For sure.
It's still dangerous, but.
We have a lot of support.
A lot of support and a lot of better equipment out there, too, that we're trying.
Tons of equipment. And that's one thing Chief Rankus has done. And so that's where this money for the golf money will go towards, like I told you, equipment we can't budget for. Like he wants push guards on the front of the squads, fast IDs for people like don't have a license on them or maybe never had a license.
Right.
And they're like, we don't know who they are, so we can run their fingerprint and try to figure who they are. And the fire department, the one thing they're trying to get is, I didn't know this, but when they go to a fire, their turnout gear, if they need to wash it or clean it or do whatever, they don't have a backup.
Oh.
So then if there's a fire, they don't have.
Wow.
So we're trying to purchase another set of turnout gear for each fireman.
Okay.
And that's $3,500 a pop.
Right.
So that's where this money would go.
One other thing I got to say, Dan, and, I used to talk to my brother about this. Was a sheriff's deputy, and then he was the sheriff for a lot of years. Is people don't realize what cops see when they go to bed at night, and they think they're nice, peaceful, water beautiful. They don't see what the cops see, and you've been through that a million times, haven't you?
Yeah, we've seen some things.
Yeah, and you just get up the next morning and do it again.
But I think I sometimes feel when I talk to some of these cops that they really don't see the city. They see the worst of the city. And, you know, Hobart's great. Green Bay is a great community. But, I mean, when you guys, especially you guys who work the night shift, you kind of see the worst of the city. And I wish the media would focus on all the good things. I hope they cover your golf outing. I hope they cover the turnout gear that you're buying. I hope they, but sometimes, you know, when people come up and, mayor, the city's going to hell. I'm like, where do you get your news? You know, but they only have so much time and they do the car accidents and the shootings first. And they're so, but I'm glad you're getting the word out there. And I think by you getting out there is the best way to communicate with the area that, look, we know what we're doing.
Make sure you get us all the information.
Yeah,
we're going to plug this from now until August 12th about your golf tournament for Hobart, Lawrence, Police, and Fire. Chopper, great seeing you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Jimmy.
You bet.
I'm going to call him that every day.
No, that's all right.
Burke Griffin's joining us when we come back. Back after this. Welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here on a beautiful Thursday morning. We're talking about what's going on at UW Green Bay Basketball as well. Do we have Burke on? Big Papa.
Hello.
Hey, I'm going to put you on the spot first, okay? Before we talk UW Green Bay Basketball, I'm going to put you on the spot.
I wouldn't do it to you, Burke, but Johnny's going to.
Are you ready?
I guess I am.
Chopper.
Big Papa, it's Chopper.
Uh-huh.
Good answer. Burke,
what did I do last
Good
night?
Good answer. It was a blur.
The schedule's out, Big Papa, and there's no Monday night game.
So are you,
I know.
Does that mean you're going to be an auctioneer?
Wait, what are we talking about?
The golf outing.
The Hobart Lawrence Police Department, Fire Department golf outing on August 12th. He said he's asked you to be the auctioneer, and you said you had to wait until the Packers schedule came out.
Oh, Chopper, that's who. I missed that part of it. I didn't, you know.
What's up, Big Papa?
He's such an eloquent man.
Oh, yes.
And I didn't, I guess. I mean, I didn't even think about it.
I'm out of excuses.
Like he's
I told you we're going to put you on the spot.
I think we got him.
I think so, too.
Don't have.
Yep. You did.
No,
I'm all in, man.
All right.
I'm all in.
We got some great prizes.
August 12th. It starts at 9 a.m., but you're going to be auctioning at 5:15.
Yeah, and we got a lot of cool Vegas stuff.
Nice. So, hey, Burke, you've got something coming up to a fundraiser for your football team, don't you? A meat raffle?
Well, we had, are you talking, go ahead.
Just from your Facebook, I saw a meat raffle you guys were having.
Yeah, you know what? We had that two Saturdays ago.
Oh, okay.
We're
on top, Burke. Burke's like, oh, my God. I know. All right, let's talk basketball, Burke. What do you think about the hiring of Gottlieb?
You know what? As a broadcaster at a local TV station, I'm not supposed to have an opinion. However, if I want to be completely objective, I think it was about one of the only options that they had at this point. You know, the timing of Sundance leaving, middle of May, portals closed, and everyone's got a 30-day window now within their program. Look, the timing could not have been worse. I mean, this goes back to the Link Darner departure when that was right around Memorial Day as well. I mean, you know, 90% of the kids out there have already decided where they want to play their college basketball. So, you know, I look at it like this. I don't mind the hire. What I do think is going to be an issue is if they don't start out very well and he's still doing a radio show 2 hours a day. I mean, what message does that send to all the parents out there who, or even the players themselves? Like, what's more important, this radio show or being the mentor and the main person in the entire Green Bay men's basketball program? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, we do. Like, boy, do like we that. Ever. We had Scott Vinci on yesterday, and he said the exact same thing. Like, I mean, a coach is all about focus and commitment. And but I read the article this morning, and he is very confident he can do both. I just don't – my concern – and I'll let Chopper take the next question. But my concern is that it's not just 2 hours. When you talk about show prep and follow-up, that could be 4 or 5 hours.
Two full-time jobs.
Hey, hang on. Mayor, hang on.
I know what he's going to say.
I worked with John Meyer. I worked with my I worked on his radio show. There was no 4 or 5 hours. All right.
All right, fine.
No, I'm saying that as a jokey joke, ha, ha, ha. But that there's some truth to it. I mean, there's more than just people think, like with TV, you show up, you only talk for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, the equivalent in television, and Mino taught me this early on, that for every minute you do, you usually spend about an hour preparing something. You have to shoot, you have to write, you have to edit, you have to do all that stuff. So between a 5, 6, and 10 or 6 and 10, you're looking at 9, 10 minutes a day. That's an 8, 9 hour day. Right. So there's a lot more that goes into it. And now what if a player says, hey, coach, I need your help on this matter, whatever it might be. Oh, hang on, buddy. It's between 3 and 5. I'm doing the radio show. Can't help you.
And he's got 200 stations. I mean, that's
a big show.
If it's the money, like, set it aside. You can always go back to that. You can always go back to a radio show if you're that good. So I just think this is a temporary Band-Aid on a bigger issue.
Good
point. Know what I mean? Like,
Chopper?
I just don't like if he wins right away, he's going to be gone in 2 years. If he loses, he's going to be gone in 2 years probably. Like, I just don't see how this can end great.
Yeah, two full-time jobs is tough. And I agree. Let's say he does have a great year. Is he going to go to a Power 5 conference?
Exactly.
I mean, he's a big name.
I will say this, and this is something I mentioned to Scott, and he totally agreed. He said, yeah, but I said, okay, I understand all these things you guys are saying, but when's the last time you saw Green Bay basketball mentioned on ESPN or the Washington Post or the ENN, you know, ESPN-type bumpers that they send out and highlight? You know what I mean? So at least he's doing one thing. He's putting Green Bay basketball in the national spotlight.
Should sell
which
tickets.
Nobody's done for a lot of years.
Yeah, should sell tickets.
Go ahead, Burke.
Yeah, no question about that. I mean, people are all of a sudden, literally since they upset Jason Kidd.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking 1996 or whatever, or 94. And then you had the Norgard team in 96. But they didn't get a victory. That was different. You got Jason Kidd and Cal with two lottery picks.
Yeah.
And like, then people are like, whoa, Green Bay, what's this? Who's this little mid-major up in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah.
And that's been gone for 20, 30, 25 years now.
Yeah.
So you're right. It did bring the spotlight back. I think it's a, you know, it's going to be a stopgap to another era, right? Like, I mean, you're going to have an assistant, like, for example, let's say Gary Gresh. If he dips his toe in that water one more time, he's getting the job, right? But that's not going to happen. He's got kids that play in college right now.
Right.
So he's got, you know, his daughter, Gracie, has a full ride to go to play in Wisconsin. So he'll be a popular name in a few years, as will, I don't know, how about the superstar from Kaukauna that's staying aboard and isn't going with Sonny, and he was just hired a couple weeks ago. You know, so you've got, there's options down the road. I think this is a temporary solution for what could be a permanent problem with the NIL money and the transfer portal.
Well, that's the thing, Burke. These mid-majors, I mean, we had the really great player last year, and I mean, say what you want about buying players. They're buying players. I guarantee you, TCU said, hey, we're going to give you $100,000 cash or whatever the amount is. I don't know the amount. But I mean, that's the way it works now. Right. It used to be, come look at our beautiful campus and, hey, check out our weight room. Now it's like, we'll write you a check.
Nope.
Can Green Bay compete?
It's all about the money, man.
Exactly. So maybe they really had to go out of the box to try to, you know?
I just, you know, and Burke, you were there, but John and I went to the, what was that dinner? Steak dinner? What's
steak dinner,
the,
yeah.
The steak fight dinner. And, you know, to hear him talk about, you know, this is it. This is my home and
no
raise
place
money,
I'd rather be.
Write out checks because we need the money to advance. And then he's gone. I just hope the support is there that people don't look at this as, not sure. Because some of these checks they're asking for are significant.
Yeah. Even the auction things are going for like $8,000.
Right. So.
Yeah. All right.
Right.
Well, Burke, we appreciate you coming on, my friend.
Go ahead, Burke.
Let me make one real quick point. I've talked to two coaches who have both been dealing with they're very tight within the Division I ranks in basketball and football, and it is a issue. Like, there are average guys asking for six-figure deals because they know they're not going to have a pro career, and this might be their one chance to make money.
How much do you think you could have gotten from Oshkosh?
Nah, $100 a week in a bar tab.
Bar tab. Thanks, Burke. We'll be back with Ryan Scott from NBC 26 back after this.
Miss part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, 8:34, a beautiful Thursday morning. 45 in Green Bay, 52 in Appleton, 50 in Oshkosh. Listening to us at 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS in Oshkosh, and of course, the Civic Media app worldwide. Very honored to have joining us right now, Ryan Scott, General Manager, NBC 26. And you know, Jim always gets mad at me. Okay, because we'll get a guest in, and what do I do, Jim?
You start talking to them about where they went to high school. Did you know this coach? Where's your allegiance in NBA? And they're here. You're here to talk about all the progress you're making in 26 and the young reporters and your different marketing strategy. But we won't get to that for a while because we're going to talk about your sports background, whether you had it or not.
But I'm going to say this. So last time we met, we spent half an hour talking about the great sports writers in Wisconsin history.
I believe we all
read the same guys and all their different articles, so it was really cool.
We've got 20 minutes, so I don't know. John's in charge. He can split it up, but yes. So were you?
Ryan Scott, General Manager, NBC 26, joining us.
I appreciate it, yeah. So I'm going to correct that. Station manager. And news director.
Yeah.
Yes.
Station manager. Everything's come up. Like in radio, it used to be program manager. Now it's... What's it even called now, Todd? It's got brand manager.
There you go.
And everything's got different names to it, but you're basically doing the same jobs, but different names.
Titles. Yes, I mean.
But one of the things we talked about, and Jim and I actually talked about this, that you do differently, and I think others might start copying this. You take young reporters and you'll put them in a specific community and tell them, learn about this community before we're going to ask you to report on this community. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, this is something that, I thought a lot about and, former bosses and mentors that I've had, we talked a lot about this. I come from the Milwaukee area and worked at WTMJ TV for over two decades. And
okay, I got to jump in on one quick thing, though. This is the only guy I know that ever turned down a job at ESPN.
That is true. All right. You want to go that story first?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. So always my dream to work at ESPN.
As all of us were.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And so, so they called me up one day and said, hey, can you come out here? Can you do an interview? Went out there and I'd heard what the interview process was like.
Right.
And it was, you never know what you're going to be asked, but you need to be an expert on everything.
Yes.
So I had bought what year was that? 1999, 2000. Okay. I had bought a sports almanac and I just went through it one after another, you know, every page. So I go out there and I do the interview and you walk in the door and, you know, you hope they ask you about the Brewers and the Packers and the Bucks and the Badgers. And he said, tell me everything you know about the Anaheim Angels.
Wow.
Okay. So I did that. Who's going to win the Conn Smythe Trophy? And I'm not a hockey guy.
Right.
So, you know, you do the best you can.
Is that the sportsmanship? I don't even
know.
Okay.
I don't know. All of my hockey knowledge came from playing Sega hockey, NHL hockey.
Yeah.
So it was a good interview. It went well. I was offered the job. Unfortunately, it was at an amount that I couldn't
tell them the amount. Because you floored me when you told me the amount.
We do hear that though. I mean, that's not a secret that, okay, but anyway, go ahead.
Right. At the time, and again, this was back 2000. In 2000,
yeah.
It was $7.30 an hour.
And so, now that I haven't heard that low.
To live in Connecticut, one of the highest.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
So, you know, that was a tough pill to swallow. This was a dream that I had had for many, many years. And I went, I don't know how. I mean, I had school debt. I was 21, 22 years old. And I went, I don't know how I can make that work. I cannot survive.
Yes. But that's a little bit, I got to believe that's a little bit like an unpaid internship, you know? But can you pole vault to $200 an hour?
Why does Jim not know?
Well, Johnny, we talk about these contracts.
Anchors, buddy. The people that do the real work behind the scenes.
I think you can work your way up. And listen, that's what I did in this company. I started as a part-time teleprompter operator at TMJ.
The guy that just left recently, Norby Williamson, I think he was one of the main guys there. He started out in the mailroom.
Okay.
In like 1980 and worked his way up to the president, but go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, absolutely. It's possible. I didn't see a path for moving out to Connecticut. And so I stuck with TMJ and it's worked out well.
Worked very well for you. I just want to say on that starting, and I think a lot of people want to come in as vice president, and it's just not the real world, but we had Randy Van Stratton on here. Mm-hmm. He does the Bellin Run for, I don't know, 25 years. George Kerwin, who ran Bellin Hospital for years and years, started off in the laundry room. I mean, he went to school, but that was his area of responsibility.
Get that foot in the door.
A little tough to take when you come out of Notre Dame and say, this is what you're in charge of. But he also became president at just one of the most successful hospital chains systems. So,
listen, there's a lot to be said for paying your dues. And you walk in the door and you say yes to everything and you work whatever hours they tell you.
Exactly.
And, you know, you prove to yourself and you prove to the higher ups that you can do the job, that you're willing to do the job, that you say yes, that you show up on time. You know, you work your tail off and you get the next opportunity.
And so, Ryan, that might sound like, oh, yeah, that's basic. Anybody would do that. No. Well, Ryan, it's hard to find people that will actually do that.
But, Ryan, I want to ask you about that because, you know, those of us who ran companies, I think the younger generation gets a bad rap for, I'm not doing this, vacation's more important, I want time off. Yet you have retained some young talent.
We have. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's more focus nowadays on work-life balance, and I don't think that that's bad. And I've had to pull myself back from the whole, you know, the 50, working too
hours,
much.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm guilty as anybody of working far too much. I don't think it's bad that there's a little more focus on work-life balance and you know, for health, your mental health, your physical health.
Burnout.
I'm a big believer in when you're at work, you're going 100%. You're trying to put the absolute best product on the air. You're doing the best journalism, you're doing the best producing, the best directing, the best sales, whatever you're doing. I think it's really important to take some time off and disconnect for a bit. And I do that and you sort of mentally refresh yourself.
I was at a very big time seminar. In fact, Craig Dickman was in charge of it kind of down in Appleton a couple of years ago. It was all like hoity-toities that ran businesses. Everybody pretty much owned a company. And they had a guy on who was an expert on hiring at corporate levels and everything. And he said the old school of, well, I'm just going to pay him more than these other guys were going to get him. No, because everybody will always up that. That's an easy thing to up. He said, would they be available to go to their kids' soccer games? Would they be available to? He said that. He said is so important right now in hiring really good people.
It is. It is 100%. And we talk a lot about that while we hire people. First of all, our pay structure is a little bit different than the other stations, and I'm pretty proud of that. But you're right. I think there's a lot to be said for how you can sell that work-life balance.
Exactly.
And I when I worked in City Hall, we had like
when was that?
Three, four.
When was that? When did you work in City Hall?
Three, four generations.
No, go ahead, say it.
I went to it when I was mayor. When
we do a shot every time he says when I was mayor.
Some tipsy people walk out of listening. Here.
Yeah.
But I went to a seminar on just how to talk to the baby boomers, the X, the Y, because you communicate differently and they have different needs, just like you're talking about. But I think sometimes we have to look at the talent they bring. I mean, these are technology, like there's stuff that Johnny and I could never do. I think they're super creative. And you need that to grow your business. You just can't do it with a bunch of old white guys like, you know, some people try to hang on to. You've got to, but you got to give a little.
You do. And every generation, and we talk a lot about this because, right, I'm 48 years old, right? I come from a much different generation than I hire a lot of 22, 23
year olds. Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And a lot of them come in, they never even had a TV. They didn't have a TV in college, right? I'm holding up my phone right now. Yeah. This is where they get all of their news
Everything.
From.
Yeah.
This is where news comes from now. So the fact that they understand that world even better than I do, and understanding the importance of being on digital and being present in digital and having our content look different than what your parents watched on TV 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, it's so important. And that's really what we're trying to push is this has to look different than... you know, TV broadcasts that haven't really changed in the last 30 years, 40 years. Right. I mean, where's the evolution? And that's what we're really trying to promote.
And the people who are going to be your customers are these younger people too. So to relate to them, there's still some older people out there, but when you look at, you know, the bubble, I mean, you're doing the right thing. I just think managers, you could teach a class on just management because I think sometimes people, when I was there, this is the way we did it. It just didn't work.
Yeah,
that doesn't work. I just there's a better way to do it. That's what I meant.
There is, and listen, I'm certainly not a perfect manager. I've learned a lot along the way, but you treat people right, you have high expectations, and I think that builds culture. Yeah. I really do, and you know, you manage through expectations and empathy, and I think you're gonna get a lot, especially when you have a shared goal in mind.
Yeah. I got to ask this though, Jim. Last night, the schedule came out or whatever. You guys with the big pack. I mean, that's for you guys. That had to be like Christmas morning when you open the package, isn't it?
It was.
The station that carries it. Go ahead.
Listen, I told everybody, do the Packers dance. Whatever you can do.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, of course, you know, anything on NBC, great, fantastic. Looking forward to the first game against the Eagles. That's going to be on NBC 26. Obviously, we have the Dolphins game on NBC 26.
Right. That'd be fun.
There's another game later in December that's on NBC 26. So, no, we love that. And of course, all the preseason games are on our air as well.
He wants to send us to Brazil. What are we talking?
All right. You tell me that, John.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. I forgot to tell
We're happy to cover it on our radio station.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. I have tickets in my pocket here for you.
Over there. But besides the NFL, I mean, how are your employees, these younger people, to retain them? And we work really hard to retain talent because, I have three daughters, but, you know, Nashville, Virginia, New York, they're just not here. And I think they'll come back someday, but I think I'll give you a lot of credit for getting young talent.
Well, Jim's always concerned about a brain drain in Green Bay. He harps on that so much. We're with Ryan Scott, station manager and news director of NBC 26. But that is one of Jim's main passions. We got to keep talented people in Green Bay or Northeast Wisconsin even.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
The goal behind what we're doing, which is bringing young journalists in and putting them in different parts of our market. And when I say that, I feel like I need to kind of explain to your listeners who haven't watched us in a while. For years and years and years, the focus has been on Green Bay. All right. And that's where a lot of the reporters live. That's where all the stations are, that sort of thing. And what happens is parachute journalism, which is something bad happens somewhere. Manitowoc, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac. everybody parachutes in and sticks a microphone in their face, all right, and says, tell me what just happened. And then they leave until the next bad thing happens. The fact that we have people living and working in these communities and they're embedded in and part of that community and reporting on what goes on in the community, not just the bad news, but the good news, the dynamic people, the dynamic businesses, all of that is kind of the goal of this, so that we're giving a market tour every single day. So it's not just news about Green Bay and the surrounding areas. Now, getting back to your question, my hope is that as people come here, they fall in love with the area like I have fallen in love with, right, with Wisconsin, right? It's not a guarantee. This is, you know, Green Bay is either a starter or a second market for a lot of people in this industry. But many have fallen in love with this area.
No question.
The people are beyond nice. It's safe. It's affordable. You know, I love Wisconsin. You can either go, you have theater, you have music, you have food. You're close to Milwaukee and Chicago, or you can get in the middle of nowhere in no time.
I remember when we did a big campaign in, I don't know, 2005 or six, but it was on recruiting healthcare, because healthcare kind of boomed here when Aurora took off, and a lot of these doctors like to hunt and fish. Mm-hmm. I don't think sometimes they had the time to do it in medical school, but they really like that. And to say that, like you said, in 45 minutes, 50 minutes, you can be... They love that about Green Bay.
I know a guy, I forget what job it was, he took over, and it's like Green Bay, Wisconsin, I don't know. And he was a big outdoorsman. He said, you want to know what convinced me to move to Green Bay? And he said, I feel stupid now because I was taking a walk by the river, and I saw all these fish jumping. And it's like, oh, my God, those must be walleyes. And they were carp.
Sorry.
He didn't realize that, so he said, it's sheep's head. But still, that's what sold him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, the people are, I'm going to go back to, the people are beyond nice. I mean,
We're going to set a quick break.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about something else I want to bring up.
Pick that up. As soon as we come back with Ryan Scott, station manager, news director, NBC 26. We still got Sports Showdown to talk about.
Love it.
And Olympic coverage to talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We'll be back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WSS in Oshkosh, and of course, worldwide on the Civic Media app. We're with Ryan Scott, station manager and news director of NBC 26. Huge things coming up. You got the Packers, you got the Olympics, you got Showdown, and you got a lot of stuff on your plate, Ryan. Go ahead, Jim.
I just to say, Ryan, and I think one of the reasons Johnny and I took this job or wanted to do this job is just to connect more with the local community. I mean, and I know you've been in media a lot longer than I have, probably not as long as John, 40 years, but we've just, but people, they'd come to me when I was, and they'd say, you know, Mayor, the city's going to hell. And I was like, where do you get your news? Mm-hmm. But it was all like you just talked about. It was the car crashes, it was the shootings, and there's so many good things going on. We're trying to elevate some of that. I mean, we've got to be realistic about where we live, but you know, we understand there's some homeless and fentanyl mm-hmm. problems, but there's a lot of good things going on. And I just applaud you for doing that, because I think it's going to help elevate the pride of the city and the community.
Yeah, absolutely. This is, news has gotten a bad rap, right? But some of it is
some
deserved.
Of it's deserved.
Some of it is deserved because the theory for a long time was go follow the scanner. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Where's the garage JC fire? Ambulance. Where's the car accident? Where what ran into a pole? What horrible thing just happened?
Yep. Yep.
You know, as time has gone on, we've realized that doesn't really move the needle. And so you're not going to see us as NBC 26. If there's a garage fire someplace, it's very serious to the person whose garage that was. It probably doesn't affect the 400,000 people that are in this market or many people who even live in that community. So if it's important to the community, it rises to that level, we'll cover it. We typically do not cover a lot of commodity news like that. Now, you're right. There are bad things that happen. We have to report on those. And I think it's important that we report on those, right? But I do think you have to have this balance, and it's always a balance. And you can't, that pendulum can't swing too much into we're always doing light, fluffy, good news either, because I think that's dangerous as well. It's what is that mix?
I'm going to say something. I know you guys did really good coverage on this, and because I know you're Pulaski people and everything. Mm-hmm. When they had the tragedy with the fire, the bonfire mm-hmm. type thing, that was the thing. Okay, it happened in a small community. But boy, that was an interest to everybody because that could happen in any community.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of stories I think that your reporters do a real nice job on, not just making it this local one block story, but how does this affect everybody?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody that's got a kid that's gone to a bonfire took notice.
Absolutely. It, no, 100%. And that was a story where our reporter at the time who was covering that, her name was Katie Shiro. I mean, based on the connections that she made in that community, she was able to go down to Milwaukee to the burn unit and visit with that family.
Yeah.
Right now we have Perry Apostolakos who covers Pulaski and has made just a lot of connections in that community. I think it's a really good example. It's a terrible story. But
I tell you what, you also educated this community on. They were dragging their feet a little bit on getting some of this done. And I think that's okay that we bring out, you know, government's not perfect, right? The police are great people, fire are great people, but you know, I just thought that was good that finally we're going to hear something because everybody knew how sad that was. Mm-hmm. And I thought your station did a good job of saying, well, this has to happen after this, you know, and I think that's important that you, I don't know, educate, but inform the community.
I appreciate that. Yeah. One of our jobs as a journalism company is to push public officials, right?
Right.
We are all fans of the police and we're all fans of the leadership of the cities, but there are tough questions that need to be asked. And we're not afraid to ask those tough questions and push for that information.
I want to apologize though, for a couple of years ago, you had maybe 3 years ago, you had a young guy there, really a nice kid. Can't remember his name. He was the Pulaski correspondent and he was like there for one of our very first games. And I said, are you covering the story that, you know, nobody's been able to solve? He goes, what? I said, we're having you talk to the police. He goes, no. I said, well, you got to call them, see if there's any leads. He goes, on what? I said, on who stole the quiche? I
said, John, you got to call a chief
young
of police.
Kid. He goes, oh, I didn't know about this. So yeah. It's a bit of mystery. The what? The quiche. Who stole the quiche? Yeah.
So and then you explained to him what a quiche was.
No, John did. No, John would never. John would never help somebody. No.
But you know, one of the things, let's talk a little bit about, you're talking about the, we're talking Packers, talking Sports Showdown, which Ted and I just love doing. We have so much fun doing it. And I can't think of a more fun thing that I do in my life these days than Showdown. But the Olympics and the Packers are two such big things. And Teddy now, who's been my best friend for I don't know how many years, you know, he sees it from the sales side versus, oh, you know, when you're just on air, you think salespeople are just printing money and people call them and say, I want to buy everything. Boy, there's talk about different moving parts that all have to come together. Isn't that the truth?
It's true. It's very true. They hustle. They really do. I'm incredibly proud of our sales folks. But you're right. It's not an inexpensive endeavor to run a television station. And a lot of that support comes from our sales staff and the local businesses in Northeast Wisconsin who really want to get a message out to help grow their business.
Yep.
So, Ted does a fantastic job. You do a fantastic job on Showdown. I can talk about that all day long. If you want to talk Showdown?
we have fun. We have a lot of fun. They even just put, Todd, our producer, put, wait for it. He's going to ask.
About?
What do you ask everybody that you're impressed by?
I ask if you have any interest in politics, because my concern with politics, let me just tell you, I mean this too, Ryan. And it's no secret, legal out of county board, 20 out of 26 people ran unopposed. And I think people are sick of it. I would never get into that cesspool, you know, but if the good people don't step up, and this is 60 minutes of the story. And this isn't a Jim Schmidt thing. I mean, this is no secret and it can lead to some other things as well that aren't good for the committee. So and Johnny's right about that. We've had some unbelievable guests and I think I know a lot of people, but I don't know everybody. And they come on like you, it's the first time we met. And you know, to spend 4 or 6 years in politics, I think can really help a community. You're helping a community now because you're getting the truth out there. And I think that's important. But do you think about it? Do your reporters think about it?
About getting into politics?
Yes.
No, the answer is no.
thanks.
Everybody's answer is no.
So
well, not one guy said he was kind of interested.
So I am a political geek. I follow politics very closely, very, very closely. I think there's no better state in this country to follow politics if you are into politics. It's as purple as they come, right?
Right.
So I am far more interested in holding politicians accountable and asking them the tough questions. You're absolutely right about people not running. I think that's, I don't think that's good. I look at some of these congressional districts and the fact that there's not somebody from the other party running,
right,
I think is a disservice to the community.
And Illinois has changed that.
You got to get him on your other show.
Yeah, I will.
We'll talk about that. It's called Leaning Local, about local politics.
It's all local. Okay. It's pretty good stuff. Actually, this Sunday we have, it's at 1 o'clock, we have just, I'm interviewing two homeless people.
Huh.
It's going to be, and you should hear these guys. One was a chef, one slept in a park on the slide so animals wouldn't get at him.
Wow.
I mean, but these guys are Green Bay people, but they're really, they turned a corner. Anyway, yeah, thanks for coming. You're awesome.
Ryan Scott, station manager, news director, NBC26. We'll talk a lot more, a lot of exciting things coming out.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody, for being here today. What a great lineup of guests. Todd, you're the best, and your intern's not doing bad, too.
I don't know.
See ya.